The following ABC7 podcast is brought to you by ABC7News.com.
Sybil Shepherd has been a star for 40 years, starting with The Last Picture Show in films, TV shows like Moonlighting and Sybil, nightclubs, and now she's in San Francisco appearing live on stage at the Post Street Theater in the comedy Curvy Widow. It's all about a 50-ish woman looking for a date, and the only place she finally finds it is online, internet dating. We talked.
What's on your iPod?
Oh, what's on my iPod? A lot of opera, a lot of Maria Callas. I have a number of things on my iPod that I call emotional music that I only listen to when I have an emotional scene to play. There's quite a lot of Melissa Manchester. You just can't beat her. Coming from the Rain.
Yes.
Hello now, my good friend of mine. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, you sing any more of that, we have to pay for it.
I didn't sing too much.
No.
I was very careful.
We're within. So the music, as with anybody's life, music can inspire you and is an emotional guideline, in a sense, when you're preparing for something then.
Yes, definitely. And also there's certain pieces by Mozart, particularly the violin concerto, also Beethoven's violin concerto. There's something about particularly the slower movements that move me very much. But Maria Callas particularly, I remember when I was doing Martha Stewart and I was coming out of prison, and I was listening to Dio Vendicator, very badly pronounced in Italian, which means, God, I want vengeance. And I guess it had to be Maria Callas, I think, singing it. And I had that running in my head when I was coming out as Martha Stewart out of prison. I will avenge myself.
And look what happened.
Hey.
Yes.
She's not doing bad.
Not at all.
She needs me to play her again. Maybe the musical.
But there you go, on stage,
mm-hmm.
Which is like on a tightrope with no net underneath, in a sense, what you're doing now, isn't it?
What I'm doing now is definitely, it's actually not even the tightrope, it's more of the trapeze. Only I'm by myself, there's no one to catch me from the other trapeze. I have to do the flip myself and catch the bar myself.
Isn't that scary?
It is the most terrifying, earthquaking, shattering, nervous breakdown, a panic attack, thrill. And I feel more alive than I've ever felt in my entire life.
Is the greatest thing getting that instant satisfaction or that instant feedback from an audience? Is that kind of the motivation?
Yeah, the feedback from the audience is just amazing. And the feedback includes people bored with it, people drunk. People that are drunk a lot of times make this sound like, tuh. I don't know what that means. They're drunk. They go, tuh. My favorite kind of audience is the people that, especially the women and the men who talk back to me. They go, yeah. I had one woman when we were in Atlanta yell out, hot sex. I said, what did you say? She said, hot sex. I mean, just in the middle. People feel they know me. They feel they can talk back to Curvy Widow. And I love that. And I had one man, I remember, have this spiel I go through. I talk about men and various problems that men have. And men can be as dumb as posts, et cetera, et cetera. And a man yelled out, that's a terrible thing to say.
Well, this is
but
not
I love
to,
it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be an audience participation show, though, is it?
No, but that's the whole point, is really the audience. But the audience judges you, too. The audience is not always cooperative. They don't laugh exactly when I want them to laugh every night. They don't laugh, the laughs aren't big enough every single night. In Atlanta, I got so many wonderful standing ovations, but there were nights I did not get standing ovations. So what happens to a performer is we become very spoiled. Where's my standing ovation tonight? It's every night is a failure in some way or another. Every night something goes wonky. Every night something else works differently.
It's the magic of live theater, of course.
Well, and it's 90 minutes with me doing a script written by Bobby Goldman. So I'm playing a character, and it's not like I'm doing the Sybil Shepherd show, but I can't help but turn it into that a little bit once in a while, because the audience is waiting for me to make a mistake. And there's no question that I will, because I'm a human being. And if you don't want to see the mistakes, go to the movies.
Well, because everything is perfect there.
Yes.
Yeah, but here, you never know.
Door might sometimes not work. My hair isn't perfect.
Oh, I find that really hard
on
to believe.
On the stage, sometimes my hair just goes wacko. And all of a sudden, it's doing something strange. And, I try to respond when these accidents happen in the character Curvy Widow.
You say that people are waiting to see Sybil Shepherd on stage, but in a sense, is this play, and I haven't seen the play, the story of your life? in part or not at all?
Well, it is definitely the story of my life in the sense that as a very powerful woman in the prime of my life, in my 50s, it's very difficult to date. It's very difficult to, especially for me, Sybil, to date. The character I'm playing, Curvy, it's impossible. And her shrink finally says, you know, here's the website of Match.com. I want you laid this week. So she goes on Match.com, and it works. Within a day I picked up a man. Yes, I took him home. Yes, I slept with him. Yes, I told him I never wanted to see him again.
You were looking, you're quoted actually in this week's People magazine, pictures with you and your daughter, looking for a man who's financially independent. I think you emphasized that a couple of times. So, of course, that lets me out, so there you go.
I'm not saying he has to be a billionaire. But I found that with men, I don't think they can. I think it's very difficult in this society and at this time for men who are not financially independent to be with a woman who has more money. I think it's a real blow to the male ego. And as much as we'd like to romanticize and think that they're wonderful, enlightened men, and I'm sure there are, and I hope they're going to call me tomorrow, I think it's sometimes very difficult.
Yeah.
Unless you have, you know, at least be financially independent is not asking very much.
Gee, I've got a couple of bucks left in my checking account this month. It's not going to work. The last time you were here, or at least the last time you did a film, I think, was it Chances Are?
The last time I was here?
Yes, doing a film.
Chances Are, yeah. Maybe I was publicizing Chances Are when I was here. It's one of my favorite films.
Oh, it's just delightful.
I think it's one of the best movies ever made. Pat, pat, pat on my own damn back. But I really do. I've been very fortunate to work with some extraordinary directors and, you know, right up there in the 100 best movies ever made are always The Last Picture Show, The Heartbreak Kid, Daisy Miller, Taxi Driver. And I think Chances Are should be. When my fans come up to me, the things they most know me from are Moonlighting, The Sybil Show, and Chances Are.
Hmm. More so than The Last Picture Show.
No, a lot of people, well, that's a different generation. Mm. Now, the strange thing is my younger children, Errol and Zach, are now 20. But they're in college. But in high school, they were always, at both of their high schools, they were always running The Last Picture Show as part of a classic film series.
Yes,
and
yes.
I remember my daughter Ariel saying, "Oh, Mom." I said, "Well, did you go see it?" She said, "No, of course I didn't go see it. I'd be too embarrassed." But all these guys in my class came up and said, "You know, your mom is really hot." And
yes,
she was
she
so
is.
Embarrassed. But my older daughter Clementine, who's also appearing with me in The L Word, she has seen it. She's gotten beyond it. I mean, she can see. Well, it was so long ago. Hey, you know, it was 38 years ago, Last Picture Show. And that I started in the business in 1968 at 18 years old. So this is my 2008 is my 40th year in show business. Isn't
wow.
that cool?
I can't believe it's
I have survived.
And how? I mean, you've got
really
great
how?
Talent. No, but I mean, you
no,
have,
I know. It's a good question.
Really. It's a tough, tough business. And you've been through the ups and the downs and the tough times, but you are a survivor. And how do you do it in this very difficult business, besides having talent and looks and all that stuff?
Well, it takes a lot of growing up to do. I mean, for me to have survived since I was 18, I mean, I was in some ways very young when I started in the business at 18. I think I balanced my checkbook once. I had to grow up in front of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
I've had very, very good old friends. I mean, some of my best friends are two women. One grew up across the street from me and the other around the corner. And we're still great friends. I mean, we see each other. They came to Atlanta to see Curvy Widow, and we're just the best of friends. With old friends like that through your life, they really keep you on an even keel. They're
grounded,
really,
huh?
Yeah, grounded, and they'll tell you the truth. They'll say, I remember my friend Jane Howard saying to me once, "Now, Sybil, why do you have 15 pairs of khaki Gap slacks?" And I said, "Well, and why do you have 15 white shirts, Gap white shirts?" And I said, "Well, Jane, I don't know. I don't know why. I have too many, don't I?" She said, "Yes, but I would look at that. There's an easy way to be." I haven't told you how I've made it in this business. I'm kind of telling you the difficulties, which is the opposite. There's a real gap in reality once you're famous.
That's it. You go out on the street, and you're not worrying about the problems that most of us have to face every day, because it's almost a fantasy world, isn't it?
Yes, being fantasy is really a warped way to look at life. And since I've been famous so long, I'd like to think I've gotten better at it. Now when the paparazzi catch me, I'm thrilled, because I've gone through periods where paparazzi didn't even care about taking my picture. Maybe it all goes back to what my grandma said to me, Tommy Shobe. She said, "Stay as sweet as you are." Si bonnet, she called me. Si bonnet, stay as sweet as you are. Remember, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And never go too far to the right or too far to the left. Stay in the middle. Stay pure vanilla. Now, that's not true for me, but I come from, you know, really not, really just good, down-to-earth people.
And now there's another generation that's following you and working with your daughter. Mm-hmm. Is that easy?
Well, it was really nerve-wracking for my daughter Clementine and I. This is the first time we've ever worked together. And I remember we had dinner before our first scene together in The L Word last season. And she said to me, "Well, Mom, I hope I don't disappoint you." And I said, "Well, Clementine, I hope I don't disappoint you." And she was brilliant in the scene. I was really impressed with her professionalism and her talent. And the first scene we did was very emotional, and she was very angry at me. And here I am, I've been an actor for all these years, but in between the scenes, I went up to kind of talk to her, and she was angry at me. And I was going like, "Clementine, why are you so angry at me?" And she looked at me like, "Mom, we're doing the scene. We're acting." Well, now I know that, but when it comes to your daughter, it was just, oh, duh. So we can always learn, you know, but it was the most wonderful time in my life to do the second season of The L Word and with Clementine and see her talent and be impressed with her professionalism. It was just one of the greatest things that have ever happened to me.
And great to go back to a series.
It's wonderful to have a series, and it's the only series that's ever existed that's all about women at all ages going through as sexual beings, not from a male fantasy point of view. And it draws a huge audience. Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. they're gay and lesbian audience, but there's a huge heterosexual women and also heterosexual men. It's just across the board. And the L Word has never had any recognition whatsoever from our peers. Never a nomination by the Golden Globes or by the Emmys. And it's a spectacular show. And it is absolutely because it's discrimination. Because you look at that and you compare it to any other show on television that's getting nominated or that's beautifully shot and the acting and the writing is wonderful. Everything about it technically is brilliant. And there's no other excuse for it not to be recognized with any kind of nomination. It makes me angry.
The whole nomination process as far as films go and on television, all because of the writer's strike, do you see an end in sight for that?
I certainly hope so. It's a terrifying and awful thing for everybody involved, not for the big cats with all the big money, but it's really hard on the people that live day to day and have to make that mortgage and wonder if they're going to make it. And there's been such a shakeup in our business. There has to be fairness all around, and there really hasn't been fairness. I want a date. This is really pathetic.
Sybil Shepherd, appearing in Curvy Widow at the Post Street Theater in San Francisco. She'll be there on stage through March 9th. I'm Don Sanchez, ABC7's Arts and Entertainment Reporter.
Thank you for downloading the Entertainment Insider Podcast. Look for a new podcast every Friday.